Okay, we're starting today at the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet, from seven lines from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan, the Tafresh. Ezehu Shoteh. So if we go back to our Mishnah, we had the Cheresh Shoteh and Katan or Patur. We dealt with the Cheresh, what type of Cheresh, Medaber Beino Shomer, Shomer Beino Medaber, right? We ended up splitting it, saying there's two types, and there's two different issues we're talking about, Simcha and Re'iyah. What?
And we dealt with the katan, whether he walked or whether...
Exactly. And then we dealt with the katan, what kind of katan. Now we're going to deal with the shoteh. The katan, right, the katan we're going to deal with today also a little bit. The katan was already dealt with in the Mishnah, that there's two types of katan, whether it's going on your shoulders, he can go on your shoulders, or whether he can walk by himself. But the Gemara yet didn't deal with the katan. Okay. So now we have, ezehu shoteh. What are signs of someone who's a shoteh? Hayotze yechidi balayla, v'halam v'beit ha'kvarot, v'hamakareh eksuto. Why they chose specifically these things, I don't really know. They say he goes out at night by himself. At night, in general, in those days, was considered very, very dangerous. So he obviously doesn't have a sense of danger, right? That's like a good categorization. V'halam v'beit ha'kvarot, he sleeps in a cemetery, okay, which also, right, night at the cemetery, all these superstitious ideas. Rashi points out that it was at night. Unclear why Rashi has to say it was at night. Who else is sleeping in a cemetery during the day? Not so likely. But anyway, there's a discussion of a little bit about why Rashi says that. Hamakareh eksuto, he rips clothes. He does things destructively for no good reason. Right? He destroys things. Right? The first two were a little more clear. Maybe, though, the first two... The first and the third are a little more clear, right? Someone who just damages things without paying attention and someone who has no understanding of danger. But maybe you could say the first two are both signs of danger, in which case you also have to ask why would they bring two, right? In other words, if they're kind of two categories, then it might have been smart, you know, it might have been more likely they would just bring two. So I don't know exactly about the Beit HaKfarot. Itmar, it said, the Rav Huna Amar, now we're going to learn that there's a machloket about how to understand the meaning of this Braita. The Braita lists three things. So Rav Huna Amar, ad shiu kulam bevatachat. In order to be considered a shoteh, you have to do all three things. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu beechat mehen. Okay? Even if you do one thing, then it's already clear you're a shoteh. Now the Gemara is going to ask, hechidami, in what case are we talking about? Because these behaviors can be done, right? It's like, you think about, my mother always used to say, it all depends on your tone of voice, right? It's how you do something. You could do the same exact act, but do it in different manners. So there's two different manners they're going to discuss. One is that you do it derech shtut, and one is that you do it lo derech shtut. So what exactly does that mean? I don't know exactly what it means, but I guess there's ways to do things where you have a reason for it, right? If you have a reason for it, then it means, right, derech shtut means you're not thinking clearly about it. So if it's derech shtut, so they say here, ida avid lehu derech shtut, if it's done in the kind of manner that it's clear you have no understanding of what you're doing, as a filu b'chadanami, then one should be enough. Then you shouldn't need to do all three because then it's clear you're doing a derech shtut. Ida lo avid le derech shtut, a filu kulunami lo. And if you're not doing a derech shtut, you have a reason, then even if you do all three of them, then it doesn't matter. If you're not doing a derech shtut, then clearly you have your head on, you have a reason for whatever reason you're doing it. So in the end, they explain the olam deka'avet lehu derech shtut. So it is that you do it derech shtut without thinking, but halam beveit ha'kvarot, here we have this, it's not the exact same thing, but it's almost like hevidan l'chav zchut. In other words, you see someone doing something and you think they're doing it clearly in an incomprehensible manner. However, maybe there's some logic to what they're doing. Okay, so here we're going to get to what could possibly be logical about doing any of these things. Halam beveit ha'kvarot. The first one, even though it appears logical to them, to me it's not so logical. I'm obviously not understanding exactly something. Halam beveit ha'kvarot. Imor kedeshet tishra lav ruach tum'ahu dekavid. He's doing it in order he wants a ruach tum'ah to fall upon him. So Rashi explains, he was looking for this ruach shedim sheyisayuhu liyot machashef. And they think that that means the person's clear-headed because he's trying to have spirits fall upon him in order to do some sort of magical something. We might think magical something isn't exactly so logical and so... But obviously, you have to understand also things that were going on in those days. We know we've talked about Kishuf in the Gemara. We had a whole bunch of Dapim, if you remember, a long time ago, about the dreams and the magicians and all sorts of things that they could do. It could be he's going to the Beit HaKvarot in order for magic to fall upon him, and therefore maybe he's not doing it derech shtut, or maybe it doesn't mean he's a shoteh. Vayotzei yachidi balayla, imur gandarifus achde. Could be he's got a fever, right? What do we know about when you have a fever? Sometimes you're a little delirious, you might wake up and start walking around in the middle of the night. It's not necessarily that, it's a temporary thing, right? He's not, it doesn't mean he's a shoteh. B'mahamikareh et ksuto, this is a good one, imur bal machshavotu. What does that mean? Maybe he's thinking about something very strongly, and as a result, right, sometimes you fidget, and you might just start ripping things without paying attention to what you're doing. Okay, he might not realize what he's doing, and then it doesn't mean he's a shoteh. But, kevan da'avdinhu lekulhu, but since this person did it, now we get back to Rav Huna. Why did Rav Huna say he has to do all three things to be considered a shoteh? Because since he did all three of these things, okay, here you have to understand basic laws of shor tam, shor mu'ad. If a shor gores somebody once, so he's a shor tam, the owner only pays half the damages. After he does it three times, he's considered a shor mu'ad. But what do they say? Just because one time he did it to a shor, and one time he did it to a chamor, and one time he did it to a gamal, don't think that, oh, it was just b'mikre, he happened to do it to a shor, and then to a chamor. Once he already does three different animals, you don't say, oh, well, it's likely he's only going to attack those three animals. No, once he's done all three different types of animals, we now assume it's likely he can attack any animal, and he becomes a shor mu'ad for any animal. That's what it means, nasa mu'ad lakol, to everybody. So the same thing here. This shoteh did these three acts that maybe we can explain them each away, but once he already did three, it's going to be clear that it's a problem and that he's considered a shoteh. Not that it's a problem, it's just indicative of the fact that there really was no logical reason. Amar Rav Papa, now Rav Papa's going to come and say, so let's just backtrack for 1 minute. Rav Huna says you need to do all three. Rabbi Yochanan says even one of them is an indication that he's a shoteh. So now comes Rav Papa, and he says, clearly Rav Huna never saw a particular braita. Because if he had seen this particular braita, he wouldn't have said what he said. Ish mi'alei l'Rav Huna, shama is always to learn, like we talked about yesterday. If Rav Huna had learned, ha detanya, what appears in this braita, ezehu shoteh, zeha ma'abed kol ma shenotnim lo, hava hadrabe. He would have retracted his statement. What does it say here? A shoteh is someone... Ma'abed usually means to lose, but it doesn't mean here to lose. It means who destroys, right? Kind of like the clothing. It's someone who destroys. To ma'abed is also to make something gone, right? You do that by destroying it. So zeha ma'abed kol ma shenotnim lo. So what do you see here? You only need one thing, right? And therefore, he would have been chozer bo. Now, some people say that this means that Rav Huna would be chozer bo only about the last item. That if you're mekarech suto, you rip your clothes, that's the same category as ma'abed kol ma shenotnim lo, like a destructive element. And that would require only one. But if he had one of the other signs, he would still need all three. Actually, the Gemara is going to ask this question. I thought it was the Mefarshim, I got confused from it. The Gemara asks this right here. Ibai lehu. Now they ask a question on Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, because there's this braita, Rav Huna really would have been chozer bo had he seen it. Does it mean that he would only be chozer bo when it comes to ripping clothing, when it's the same category? Because it's just like it. Or would it be that he's chozer bo in any? Because what do you see here? That one indicator is enough. And therefore, it could be any indicator. It doesn't necessarily have to be an indicator that's part of the same category. So, and then they end with teku. They don't know what it is. Okay, teku, just to remind you, we've learned it before, but for those who haven't been with us, teku is generally understood as tishrei yitaretz kushiyot ubayot, right? The meaning, we'll wait for Eliyahu and Avita to tell us. But really, from the Aramaic, it comes from the word tekom. Tekom means it should stand. Okay, which means we don't know the answer, it just stands in its place, and until we find an answer. Okay, not necessarily related to Eliyahu and Avi, but other people translate that. It's, the Rishonim come up with that, but the real Aramaic is from Tekom. Betumtum v'androgynous. Okay, now we're going to get to these categories of the tumtum and androgynous. So, background about these people, the androgynous has simanim of zachar and nekeva. The tumtum has simanim that are covered up, and we don't know what they are. We're going to learn today in the Gemara that there's two types of ways it could be covered up. It could be you have evarim of the male evarim, part of them are covered and part of them are revealed, or it could be everything is covered. I was looking this morning up, and maybe it was Wikishivia. It's like a Wikipedia for yeshiva. And they were saying that there was an Arab child who was considered a tumtum. It was basically covered up. And it also said there, interestingly, that the word mitumtam, right, comes from here. The mitumtam in Hebrew, right, generally is someone stupid, but it's someone who, it doesn't really come from stupid. It comes from satum, right? The word satum is also like you're covered, right? It's blocked. So people call people, you know, satum is another unpleasant word that people use in modern Hebrew language to say you're not thinking clearly, you're not, right, because you're covered, your mind is blocked. So what comes from this word, mitumtam, from tumtum. Okay. So what do we have here? Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to learn why the tumtum and androgynous are... why the tumtum and androgynous are not hayav in re'iyah. Tana Rabbanan, zachur. Remember the pasuk says, kol zichurcha, right? Yere'eh kol zichurcha p'nei Hashem elokecha. Okay, so now they're going to darshan this word zichurcha. What could the pasuk have said more simply? Yere'eh kol zachar, right? Or zachur. Okay, but it has, so we're now going to darshan the zachur part of the word and the zichurcha. Okay, they're going to say the cha adds an extra element that is going to allow us to darshan it. Tana Rabbanan, zachur lehotziat hanashim. Okay, that's to tell us only the zcharim, not the nekevot. Zichurcha lehotzi tumtum ve'androgynous. Ah, so it must be coming to exclude something additional. What's that? The tumtum and the androgynous. Kol zichurcha. But why? But what does pasuk say? Yireh kol zichurcha. Kol always comes to be inclusive, to include something. So kol zichurcha lerabot etaktanim, to include the ktanim. Now, don't ask yet, because obviously we just said the katan katan is going to be patur. So why are you saying it's chayav? We're going to get to that soon. General, right now they just brought the whole bright, so we're going to deal with each part now. We're going to start with the beginning. Amar mar. So now amar mar is always going back to something that was quoted, and we're going to now go in depth. Zachur lehotziat hanashim. First element is the zachur comes to exclude women. Gemara asks a very basic question. Halama likra? Why do you need a pasuk to teach you that? Michtim mitzvah aseh shazman gramahu. B'chol mitzvah aseh shazman grama nashim p'turot. Right? You don't need a special limud to teach us that nashim are p'turot. It's a typical mitzvah aseh shazman grama. It's time-bound. Women are p'tur from those. So the answer, it's drich. No, you needed it. Why? Sal kadat hachamina. You might have thought that nelef re'iyah re'iyah mehakel. Ma lahalan nashim chayavot. Afkan nashim chayavot. Kamash malan. What did we learn yesterday? That Hakel and Re'iyah, they both, right? Hakel says, Lera'ot kol Yisrael, and this says, Yere'et kol Zichurcha. So we learn that what's true for Hakel is true for Re'iyah. So you might have thought, what does it say in the Pasuk there? It's explicit from the Torah, Anashim v'nashim v'tach, meaning that women are chayavot. So you might have thought that even though it's a Mitzvah Shesman Grama, women are chayavot. Therefore, you need a special limud to teach us women are p'turot, and that's the limud of Zachor to Lehotziat HaNashim. In general, also, just again, this mitzvah aseh shazman grama, if we had the time, we'd do a whole shiur just on that. Not going to do that, but every time we learn it, I'll bring in some other point. Some people say, right, there's different reasons given why they're p'turot. Some people say it's because they're, right, we talked about this yesterday, just like the Eved, their time isn't their own, they're kind of obligated to either their children, their family, their husband. The one other thing is that some people say that it's just a category. There was a whole slew of mitzvot nashim were p'turot, and they gave it a title. They tried to come up with a common denominator between all the things and came up with this name. This is similar between all these things that women happen to be p'turot from. In which case, also, in general, there's also a lot of exceptions. So it makes sense that the Gemara would say you might have thought there was an exception because there happens to be a lot of exceptions to this rule. Okay. So that's the nashim. Now we're going to move on to the tumtum and androgynous. Amarmar, zichorcha lahotzi tumtum v'androgynous. Bishlama androgynous. So now we're going to have the same issue. Why do you need a special limud for this? So they say, bishlama, I understand why you need a special limud for an androgynous. It's drich. Why? What did we say about the androgynous? He has simanim of a zachar and simanim of a nekeva. So if it says kol zechucha, what do you say? Well, the androgynous has siman e zachar, so let's include him. Therefore, you need a special limud to tell you kamash malan tibriyah b'fnei atzmohu. What does it teach you? That an androgynous is not a zachar. He's got his own category. There's male, there's female, and then there's androgynous. It's not considered in the category of what's considered zachar, even though he might have simanim of a zachar. And that's what you need the drasha to tell you. Ela tum tum, sveikahu. Tum tum is a sefek. We don't know whether he has simanim of zachar, simanim of kevah. So if it says zichorcha, we're going to only include people who are definitely zachar. He's not a zachar, so why do you need a drasha at all? Amrabai, and here's what I told you before, that there's two different categories. Amrabai kishebetzav mibachutz. Okay, it's when the testicles are sticking out. Okay, but the evar hamin, right? Is not. It's hidden. So part of it is hidden and part of it is revealed. So that's the kind of case. Hard to figure out exactly how that works, but that's the case that they're talking about, and that has some sort of siman zichrut, and therefore you would think that maybe he be chayav, and you need a drasha to tell you is patur. Amar Mar. Now we're going to get, so that was the women, the tum tum, the androgynous. Now we're going to move to the katan. Kol zichurcha l'rabot etak ktanim, to include ktanim. V'hatnan chutz michereshot tev katan. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, katan is excluded? Amar Bai lo kashya. Kam b'katan shigia l'chinuch, kam b'katan shalo igia l'chinuch. We have two categories of a katan. We have a katan that's too young to understand, and we have a katan that's already at the age of chinuch. We've learned this before, that a katan, in the time of the Mishnah for sure, there was a different age for different mitzvot, depending on which mitzvah it is and what the capability of the child is relating to that particular mitzvah, as opposed to nowadays where it's all very clear cut that it's age 12 or 13. Then also it was based on simanim, and now we don't look at simanim. So they say, if it's a katan, shelo yigia l'chinuch, he's patur. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. But a katan, shigia l'chinuch, is already chayav. But then they say, and therefore that's what they're coming to say. Kol in the pasuk comes to include a katan shigia lechinuch. Now we have a problem with that. What's the problem with that? It's true that so now there's a bit of a lack of clarity as to the Gemara's assumption. Now is not necessarily an accurate assumption. It's not accurate, but. It's definitely accurate for the time of the Talmud. It's not clear that it reflects the actuality in the time of the Mishnah. It could be in the time of the Mishnah that the katan shigel lechinuch was chayav midoraita. It's not clear from the sources. But already the Amoraim have a perception that there's clearly no din of a katan shigel lechinuch that's chayav midoraita. Okay? The chiyuv midoraita is age, simanim, right, physical signs of bagrut. But it's definitely possible that in the time of the Mishnah, there was a sense that you'd be chayav already midoraita once you got to Gil Chinuch. But the Gemara is already working on the assumption that that's not the case. And because the Gemara is working on that assumption, they're going to say, how can you have a pasuk that comes to include a katan shigil l'chinuch if the chiyuv is only midorabanan? Okay, because their perception was that the chiyuv is clearly only midorabanan under age of bar mitzvah, and that's what we go by nowadays. But I'm just suggesting that it could be earlier there was a perception, you know, some opinions anyway thought that a katan shigil l'chinuch might actually be chayav midoraita. So now they ask, katan shigil l'chinuch derabanan hi. It's only derabanan, and therefore, how could you learn that out from a pasuk? It would make it doraita. And they say, no, just because you learn it out of pasuk doesn't necessarily mean it's midoraita. They say, in achinami, it really is derabanan. Ukra asmachta ba'alma, and this we've talked about many times, that the pasuk is just, it's a way of remembering it, right? We connect a din derabanan to a pasuk, just to remind us, right? But not as a mnemonic device, but not because it's really midoraita. So just because you learn something from a pasuk doesn't make it midoraita. So you can still say it's derabanan, and it's learned out from the pasuk. Ve'ela kri l'may ata. So if that's the case, then yes, on a derabanan level, kol zichurcha comes to include a katan shigia l'chinuch, but on a derabanan level, what's the word kol doing there? Okay, that's the question here. So the answer, l'chida acherim, it's because of the opinion of acherim that we're going to learn right now. Titania, acherim omrim, okay, when it's in parentheses, it means that we don't read this and we look at the side, there's a vav, and the vav tells us that, or I don't know, you might have a star depending on what version of the Gemara you have. It says, chiche detanya. What's the difference between detanan and detanya? Detanan is we learn in a Mishnah, and detanya is we learn in a Braita. Okay, tanya ends with an aleph. It's always a good way to remember. Braita ends in aleph, and detanan is Mishnah. which also kind of has a noon toward the end. Okay. Achirim omrim, ha-mikametz, v'ha-mitzaref nechoshet, v'ha-bursi, pturim min ha-re'iya, sh'ne'amar kol zechorcha. Mi sh'yachol la'alot im kol zechorcha. Yatzu elu she'ein re'uyin la'alot im kol zechorcha. This brayta comes to say that people who do work that's very smelly work, okay? They work, okay, let's go through. The first one is a very interesting one. Hamikametz, it's someone who collects the dog poop, and they used to use it to work with the, they would use it in some way to in the leathers, when they dealt with the leathers from the animals. To what?
Tanning
is, yeah. Oh no, so tanning is the third one. Tanning is the third one, that's the borsi. He's tanning, but the mikametz is someone who collects the dog poop and then uses it in order to use it in the tanning process. And then also the guy who does the tanning process. So there's the guy who collects the poop and then there's the guy who deals with it. And the mitzaref nechoshet, here it's unclear. Is he melding the nechoshet? I'm not sure why that's such a smelly job. Some people say it's actually the mining part, which might be more smelly. I don't know. I don't have experience with it. But these three people are considered smelly jobs, and they're pterim because they can't. It's so interesting, right? They can't go with everybody because nobody wants to be anywhere near them. So they're patur from re'ia for that reason. Very interesting. Okay. And that's what the word kol is coming on a d'oraita level, and on a d'rabbana level, it's used to remind us about the salacha, about the katan, that he's chayav if he's of gil chinuch. Nashim v'avadim she'enam meshuchorim. So now we're going to deal with this next line. Obviously, the nashim we already dealt with, which is the first thing the Gemara is going to say. Bishlam nashim kida amaran, like we said. Ela avadim minalan. Where do we learn avadim from? Amarav huna amarkra. El pnei ha'adon Hashem. You have to go, le'ra'ot, to the face of the Adon Hashem. So what do they say here? Mi she'ein lo ela adon echad. It has to be someone who their only Adon is God. But yatza zeh she'yesh lo adon acher. But the Eved has two Adonim, and therefore he can't go see his Pnei Adon without thinking also about his other Adon, and he's Patur from Re'iyah. So here we're talking, I'll go back to what we said when we learned the Mishnah, which is we're talking about an Eved Knani. An Eved Knani is someone who gets a Brit Milah, and he's part of your household, and he's kind of owned by the owner, and he's Chayav in Mitzvot, but he's Patur from all Mitzvot Aseh Shazman Grama, which is going to lead us to our next question. Which is going to be obvious, which is what? Why do you need a special pasuk if an Eved anyway is patur from all mitzvot aseh shazman grama? Okay, and then we learned about also when the Eved gets freed, he then becomes like a ger. He's a full-fledged Jew at that point. Okay, so that's why the Eved ha-meshuchrar is already chayav, but an Eved that's not meshuchrar is patur. So now the Gemara is going to ask that. Halama likra, what do we need a pasuk for? Just like we asked with the women, why do we need a pasuk? Michti kol mitzvah shayisha chayevet ba Eved chayavba. Kol mitzvah she'ena isha chayavba, ena eved chayavba. Okay? And here it's interesting. It doesn't say they're perturbed kol mitzvah to say shazan gama. They say they're just like the women. Whatever the women, the eved. Whatever the women are, right? Whatever they're chayavin, the eved is. Whatever they're not, the eved is not. Degamer, how do we know it? Because they learned it out. They derived it from la me isha. There's a pasuk about the isha, and there's a pasuk about the eved. They both say la. Ochufsha lo nitanla, that's the Eved, and the woman is, I forgot the pasuk, it doesn't quote the whole pasuk here. Maybe it does, wait. Ki yikach, right, it's, ki yikach ishi shau ba'ala, v'ayam lo timtzachem beinav, it's the pasuk about divorce, ki matza be'erbat avar, v'katav la sefer kritut. Okay, it's a weird la because they're not really connected anyway, it's really just a gzera shava that they learned in order probably also like an asmachta, it's just connecting it to the pasukim. Amar Ravina, so now why do we need a special limud by the Eved? Lo nitzracha ela lemisha chatzio Eved v'chatzio ben chorin. Ah, we need this to tell you about someone who's half-half. Okay, we learned this already before, that if you're half-half, right? So there we had a whole diyun. If you're half-half, they want to say dafka you're chayev, and here we say you're pater. But in the end, what did they say? If you remember, in order to explain Ravina, that we had a problem with him, we said that in the end, Misha chetzio eved chetzio ben chorin is actually patur, but if I'm sorry, one second. If he's right, he's patur. But what's the issue? According to Beit Hillel, in the end, Beit Hillel ends up agreeing with Beit Shammai. Right, it's really Beit Shammai's opinion that when you have someone in this half-half situation, right, he's owned by two people and one guy frees him and the other guy doesn't, you must free him. And once you free him, he becomes chayav. Right? But really, inherently, if for some reason you end up with a situation of this chetu of a chetu ben chorin, he's patur. And that's what they're saying. That Ravina is coming to tell you, Ravina is saying that this limud, the special drasha, is coming for the chetu eved v'chetu ben chorin to teach you that he's patur, because a regular eved is clearly patur. But a chetu, you might have thought he's chayav because of the tzad achirut shebo. Comes the drasha to teach you the chetu of the chetu ben chorin is actually patur. And then, however, though, what we learned before when we discussed it is that you have to free the guy, and then when you free him, he's going to become chayav. And now they're going to say even further proof how we know that this is true, that it's for the misha chetu of the chetu ben chorin. Daikanami, we can be medaik from the lashon of the Mishnah. Why? De katane, it says in the Mishnah, nashim va'avadim she'enam mishuchrarim. Why does it say she'enam mishuchrarim? Generally, we just say nashim va'avadim. Right, generally, when you see avadim, you don't see them called avadim she'enam mishuchrarim. Okay, my she'enam mishuchrarim, ilem she'enam mishuchrarim klal, if they're not free at all, right, they're 100% avadim, litne avadim stam, it should just say avadim stam. Elalav she'enam mishuchrarim legamre. She'enam mishuchrarim must mean they're not entirely freed. Uman ninu, and who would that be? Mishchatu ebe v'chatu ben chorin sh'mamina. Okay, we can learn from here that that's the case. Right, we're learning the things that appear in the Mishnah. Not everything is right. We have the Cheresh; it wasn't necessarily all Chershim. We have the Eved; now it's not necessarily all Avadim. Right? It's confusing. Regalim. Right? Again, we're going to learn this word regalim. Prat lebaalei kabim. Last time we learned it from pa'amim. Now we're learning it from regalim. Okay, it comes to exclude people who have fake legs. Davar achir, regalim, prat lachigir, ulechole, ulesuma, ulezakein, ulesheino yachol lalop raglav. Okay? It comes to exclude all these people who have trouble walking. Vesheino, I assume it's interesting, the suma isn't really, he doesn't have a problem with his feet, but he also has trouble getting there, right? Blind people have trouble walking in general because they can't see where they're going, makes walking a difficult act for them. So I assume that's the issue, that getting far distances would be tough for him. Now, what's the issue here? You already say chigir chole suma zaken. What do you need the words ulish she'eno yachol alop raglav? Right, it must be coming to include something. She'eno yachol alop raglav latuye mai amarava latuye mifanke. Okay, this is for mifunakim. What are mifunakim? Right, picky people, people who are very particular about certain things. What are they mifunakim about specifically? People who can't walk without shoes. Okay, why? Dichtiv ki tavo le'ra'ot panai. Here's a pasuk where in the, I think it's Yeshayahu, right? Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's from Yeshayahu. God is saying, who asked you to do this? I don't want you coming into my Beit HaMikdash anymore, and you're trampling on my chatzer. What do we learn from here? What do you trample? You trample with shoes. So the people shouldn't go. This is one of the sources. I'll tell you the other one in a minute, why when you go to Har HaBayit, you don't wear shoes. Okay? So it comes from here because you're trampling, right? I don't want you trampling. Obviously, that's not what the context of this pasuk was. The context was, you know, you're already in a bad state. You're being disrespectful to my Beit HaMikdash, and I don't want you here anymore. Okay? We're going to actually discuss it in a few minutes. But the other real source for it, and here they say they brought this source, even though this isn't the basic source, because it says le'ra'ot panai, so it's a perfect source for the din of re'iyah. In other words, it's talking about le'ra'ot panai. But the other pasuk is shana lecha me'al raglecha, you know, ko'atera taromed, makom kodesh, right? You take, when he says to Yoshua or Moshe, right, both of them, take off your shoes, you're standing in a holy place, that's the source for it. So anyway, there's two sources. Tana, ha'arel v'hatamei p'turim in hari'iyah. So two more people. In arel, now an arel is someone who doesn't have a brit milah. Here it's, the assumption is he's talking about a case of not someone who was derelict and didn't take care of it, it's someone who couldn't. Okay, for physical reasons, sometimes if your brother dies from a brit milah, or I think you have to have two brothers who died, then you're patur. There's certain situations where you're patur, but he's patur from re'iyah. And the tameh. Bishlama tameh, we understand it's obvious. Dichtivu bata shama vehebetam shama. Right, you have to come and you have to bring a korban. Kol sheyeshnu bibi'ah, yeshnu bahava'ah. V'kol sheyeno bibi'ah, eino bahava'ah. Okay, this is a good... We didn't really get into this, but there's a machloket about the re'iyah. We kind of mentioned it in the introduction. Whether we're talking about just coming to the Beit HaMikdash, as Rashi says, and then Tosfot raises there's all sorts of problems. It doesn't mean you're just coming to the Beit HaMikdash. Clearly, it's talking about the Olat Re'iyah, the Korbanot that you're bringing. Rabbeinu Tam in the end says it must be that Rashi meant to come and obviously to bring the Korbanot. He just didn't say so explicitly. But there's a machloket about how to understand Rashi there. Here it seems that the Chiyuv of the Re'iyah is to bring the Korban. Okay? Because they're saying what? We learn that you're Patur from Re'iyah from this Pasuk. Whoever can come can also bring. But anyone who can't come to the Beit HaMikdash can't bring. And a Tamei obviously isn't allowed in the Beit HaMikdash, so therefore he's also patur from bringing the Korban. Ela Arel Minala, but where do we learn an Arel from? Hamane, who must this be according to? It must be according to Rabbi Akiva. Demirabe la Arel ke Tamei. He learns Arel from Tamei. So therefore, once you have the Tamei who can't, you're also going to have the Arel. Titania, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Ish, Ish. Okay, this is a pasuk from Vayikra about a tamei. Ish ish mizera Aaron. I'll read you the whole pasuk. Vutzarua ozav b'kodeshim lo yochal ad asher yitar. Vanogel v'chol tamei nefesh o ish asher tisem v'neshach v'tzera. And it's all about the tuma. So why does it say ish ish? Why does it say it in double lashon? It must be to include the arel, that the arel is just like the tamei, the rabot ha'arel. Tanu rabbanan. Now we're going to talk about this tamei. Tamei patur min ha'ri'iyah, dechtiv, ubata shama vehevetem shama. Kol sheyeshnu b'havaa, yeshnu b'bi'a. V'chol she'enu, sorry, kol sheyeshnu b'bi'a, yeshnu b'havaa, v'chol she'enu b'bi'a, eno b'havaa. Okay, that's what we already learned. Now we're just bringing a braita that says this, but we're going to see the continuation here. Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavai omer mishum Rabbi Yehuda, suma be'echad me'ena patur min ha'ri'iyah. Okay, this we already learned before. That if you have, you can only see in one eye, you're patur from the Ri'ah. This is just the continuation of the Braita. Shneamar, yir'eh, yira'eh. Right? It's the Kri and the Chtiv, the way it's written, the way it's pronounced. Kederach sheba lir'ot, kach ba lira'ot. Ma ba lir'ot b'shteinav, af lira'ot b'shteinav. Okay? So therefore we learn, it's actually similar. Again, this duality. If you can come, then you're chayv to bring. If you can't come, you're not allowed to bring here. If you can see, if you can be seen perfectly, then you have to be able to see perfectly, and vice versa. Okay, now we're going to go back to this pasuk about the Ramos Chatzerai. Okay? Rav Huna, Kimati, we're going to speak about all these rabbis that got to these psukim and they started to cry. They said, wow, look what state we've gotten to. Rav Huna, Kimati, Lahaikra, when he got to this pasuk, Yir'eh, Yera'eh, Bachi. When he got to this pasuk of the kriyotiv, yir'eh, yira'eh, he started to cry. Amar, eved sherabo mitzapelo lir'oto, yitrachek mimenu. In other words, what happened? In eved, that God told us, yira'eh kozer kochai, wants to see you, right? He wanted you to see him to see you. And then what happened? Yitrachek mimenu. Dechtiv, kitavo lera'ot panai, it got to the state where God took the same lashon of seeing him and he said, I already don't want you anymore. And that's the sad state we've gotten to. Rav Huna, kimate lahai krabache. Rav Huna also, when he got to the same Rav Huna, right, he got to another pasuk, he also cried. V'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham. Okay, right, it says, you should bring your zvachim, you should eat in the Beit HaMikdash. Eved sherabo mitzapeh le'echol ha'shulchano, yitrachek mimenu, dechtiv, lama lirov zivchem yomar Hashem. One of the themes that comes in a lot of the Nevi'im is the fact that God says, right, I don't want your sacrifices, because what were people doing, right? Echtav ha'shuv, echtav ha'shuv, right? I'm going to do a sin, and then I'm going to bring a korban, it's going to wipe out my sin, and I'm going to be fine, you know, and the people had missed the point, okay? So, also, he cried on that pasuk. Now we're going to learn about somebody else when he cried. Rabbi Elazar kimate lahai krab bache. V'lo yachlu achiv la'anot oto ki nivhalu mipanav. Okay, we're going back to the Yosef story, which we referenced yesterday. The brothers couldn't answer him. This is after Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. They were so scared of him. Huma tochacha shal basar v'adam, kach tochacha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu alacha kama v'kama. The brothers were so scared what Yosef's reaction was going to be, right? All the more so how much we should be scared by what God's reaction is going to be. Rabbi Elazar, another pasuk about Rabbi Elazar. Kimate lahai kra bache. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Okay, do you remember when Shaul he wants to know if he should fight against the Plishtim, and he goes, and Shmuel's already dead, but he can't live without Shmuel, right? And he goes to the Urim Betumim, he doesn't get answered, and he says, fine, I'm going to go, I'm going to raise Shmuel from, he goes to the Baalat Ov, and he raises him from the dead. So Shmuel says to him, when he gets risen up from the dead, Lama hir gaztani laha'alototi. Okay? Why did you get me so angry to bring me back up? Now, how do they understand this? Uma Shmuel hatzadik hayamit yarei min adin, anu al acha kama bekama. He was scared to be raised up, that he was going to be brought to judgment again. Okay? He didn't want to be raised up because he was scared of what was going to happen. So, you know, Shmuel was such a tzaddik, and he's worried about judgment. So we should all the more so be worried about it. Shmuel Maihi Dichtiv. Okay, what's the story with Shmuel here? Vatomer Haishal Shaul Elohim Ra'iti. Sorry, let me just read the pasuk from the whole pasuk here. If you look on the side, if you have it, Vayomer LaHamelech Al Tiri Ki Ma Ra'it. And then Vatomer Haishal Shaul Elohim Ra'iti. Okay, Elohim here doesn't mean God. It means I saw a great man. In other words, Shaul says to her, the woman, Balata of what did you see? So she says, I saw a great man, olim min ha'aretz. What should it be? I saw a great man, right? Olem min ha'aretz. Now, it's true, Elohim is plural, right? But it's really referring to a singular being. So now they're going to darshan that duality. Olim tre mashma. Chad Shmuel, v'idach da'azal. Sorry, v'idach. One is Shmuel and one is someone else. What is this? Da'azal Shmuel v'atya Moshe b'hadeh. Okay? Shmuel went and Moshe came up with him. Amar le, dil machas v'shalom l'dina matbi'ina, kum b'hadai d'leka milta d'kata b'orayta d'lo kiyamtia. What happened? Why did Moshe come up with him? Because Shmuel said, I'm a little nervous that they're going to bring me up for judgment again. And I want you to come with me and be by my side, because you can testify to the fact that there's nothing written in the Torah that I wasn't Mekayim. Okay, this actually is interesting. It goes back to what we had yesterday about it all comes from Moshe, right? In other words, Shmuel also, I'm sure there were things that weren't exactly like Moshe, and he wants to show I did exactly like you, and I want you to come and support me and be my, right? And we all know that when we go into difficult situations, we want to have someone by our side, moral support. So he brings Moshe up for moral support, and that's why there were two people, Olim.
It says, additionally, that it's within a year of his death.
And what's so the relevance of it being within a year of his death?
So that he felt that he hadn't gotten to Gan Eden.
Ah, right. That's right. Right.
That's why.
Ah, yeah, fair. Right. I forgot about that point. Right. Exactly.
So he was
right. So I'll just repeat what you said. So that basically they say that it was still within a year. That's why we say Kaddish for the first year, because the assumption is that the body's still in holding. And because he got called up within a year, he was worried that maybe they were coming to judge him about something before he got to his final resting place. Rabbi Ami kimate lahaikra. Okay, now, so we had Rabbi Funa with Tupsukim, we had Rabbi Elazar with Tupsukim, now we're going to have Rabbi Ami. Kimate lahaikra bachi. What pasuk? Yitain ba'afar pihu ulai yesh tikva. Amar kule hai ve'ulai. Okay, here, what's it saying? You should put afar... Wait, this is Yitain ba'afar pihu. I forgot the context of this pasuk. What they understand afar pihu to be? It's
his mouth to the dust.
Yeah, and then the concept being that it's only right. He's suffering. Right. It's the issue of man suffering so much that he suffers so much that he has afar in his mouth. Right. That's like someone who's suffering. And ulai yesh tikva. Maybe there's hope for him after all this suffering. So he says, he suffers all this, and it's still, maybe there's hope? Like, how depressing. Rabbi Ami kimayt to the high krabach. Another one just like this. But bikshu tzedek, bikshu anava, you should seek justice, you should seek humility. Ulai yisatru b'yom af Hashem. Maybe you'll be saved, right? Yisatru, you'll be hidden, right? From the anger of God on the day that God takes out his anger on everybody. Amar kule hai v'ulai. Okay, and only maybe. Rabbi Asi, new guy, kimati lahai krabachi. Here's a pasuk from Amos. Sinura ve'ehavuto v'hatzihu b'shar mishpat ulai yechanan Hashem l'chitzvot sheri Yosef. Okay? Hate bad, love good, and maybe you'll be saved, right? V'hatzihu b'shar mishpat, right? Do judgment. Okay, so kule hai v'ulai. Rav Yosef kimat to the high krab bache. V'yesh nispa belomishpat. And here we're going to get into a story, okay? There's people who die without judgment, okay? That we all know. We take that very seriously nowadays especially, right? People are getting killed without any judgment, without any reason also. So now, amar mi'ika da'azel beloz money. Could there really be someone who dies before their time? In other words, the concept here is if you don't have judgment, you weren't worthy of getting killed. If you weren't worthy of getting killed, then what does that mean? In other words, the assumption is everybody has a certain time they're supposed to die. And could it be that someone would die before their time? So now they're going to bring a story. Kihad Rabibi Bar Abaye. Okay, Rabibi Bar Abaye, have a shachich gabe Malach HaMavet. He had a nice relationship with the Malach HaMavet, okay? Malach HaMavet would hang out with him and shooting the breeze, you know, and he would tell stories, okay? Back in the day, okay? Clearly the story we're going to see is back in the day. It's not in the time of Rabibi. He tells a story. Amar le l'shluche zil aiteli Miriam migadla se'ar nishaya. Bring me Miriam, who's Megadil, Se'ar Nashim. What does that mean? She would braid. Okay, this comes up in Shabbos. Okay, well, I'll try to remind you of this. It's this great sugya that's taken out of the basic text in the Gemara, and the censor took it out. We'll talk about it in a minute. Miriam was the woman who was Megadilat Se'ar Nashim. It comes up, I think the context was, it comes up actually in a different context. But in Shabbos also, it talks about Megadil Se'ar, it's like bonen, you're building, and that's why it's a story to make things in your hair and stuff on Shabbat. So, he said, bring me Miriam, the woman who braids the women's hair. Azal aitele Miriam agadla dardike. He brought him by accident, Miriam, who was the ganene, right? She took care of the children, okay? Because Miriam Magdala and Miriam Magdala, right? She would be Megadel se'ar nashim, and she would be Megadel ta yeladim. Okay, he got confused. Amar le, so when he got to Malach HaMavet, he brings her. Ana Miriam Megadla Se'ar Nashaya. Amar lecha, I told you, bring me the other Miriam. You messed up. Amar le, ihachi ahadra. Right, so if so, fine, you want me to bring her, so bring her back, right? I want you to give back Miriam Megadla Dardike and put her back on earth, right? Obviously, he killed her, and he wants to now put her back on earth, the shaliach. Amar le, ho il va'aitite lahavi minyana. Since you already brought her, she's part of us already, and I can't bring her back. Okay, right? It's like the movie Heaven Can Wait. Mm-hmm. Right? If you remember that movie, right, where they make the guy die before he actually died, and he said, but wait, I didn't really die, and you should bring me back, and, you know, it's too late. I already, it's nothing to do. Okay, so now they're going to ask, Elahechi Yachola, how did you manage to, you know, how could we kill someone if we weren't supposed to kill them? How did the Malach HaMavet get to her if it wasn't her time to die, even if the Shalech messed up? So now, and this goes back to some things we also learned in the past, this concept. Mitara b'yada v'hava kashagra u'macharya tanura. She was doing stuff in the tanura. She was cleaning it out. Shakalte v'anachta agabe dekara. She put the gachalim, when she was cleaning it out, on her lap. Kadcha v'itrama, kadcha, okay, it burnt her. She was already in a place of danger. We learned this before with the walls that were falling and that the guy was already in a place of danger and that's why he could get killed. Now, that sometimes it's not your time to die, but if you get yourself into a dangerous situation, then the Malach HaMavet can come. It's much easier for the Malach HaMavet to get you when you're in this dangerous situation. So she was in this situation that was dangerous and her mazel went bad, right? And the guy got confused and he took her. Amale Rabibi Bar Abaye, Ilachu Rashuta Lemeabat Haki, do you really have permission to do this kind of thing? Amale, Velokti, Vyeshnis Pebelo Mishpat. Doesn't it say exactly this pasuk, right? You can die without a mishpat. Amale, Vahaktiv, Rabibi says back to him. Vahaktiv, Dorholech Vidorba, right? It's fascinating what's going on here. It's a question, there's a debate of, right? Clearly he wasn't friends with Malach HaMavet, right? It's a theological debate going on here, right? It's showing both sides. What each side has to say. Dor holech v'dor ba. What does that mean? That every generation has to die out before the next generation can come, which means everybody has their time. They die out at the right time. Darina amar, darina luhuana ademalu lehe ledara, v'hada mishlimen le leduma. Duma is considered like the place where we put the dead people. It's like a, I forget if Duma is like considered a shade or a place, but Duma is a reference to, how did I explain?
The angel who was the keeper of the dead.
Okay, it's right. It's the guy who's in charge of the dead people. So now, what does he say? I take them, but I don't put them yet with Duma. In other words, if I take them before their time, then they stay with me for this time period. Okay, sorry that we're going over a lot. I just feel like let's finish this. I don't want to leave you in the middle of the story. So I take them until this time, and then I give them to Duma when their time is up. Amalei, sof sof, shanye me'avet. So what do you do with those years? Let's say they died 10 years before. So you keep them for 10 years. Fine, you don't give them to Duma, but what happened to those 10 years that were cut off of their life? This is really interesting. Amar, i'i katsur v'merabanan, demavir b'mile, mosifna lehu le. If there's a tamir chacham who's ma'avir alamidot, what does it mean ma'avir alamidot? It's someone who doesn't get angry at people who do things to them. Like they say, oh, I'll mochel you, I'll move on, I'll get on quickly. That kind of person, who's a tamir chacham and does that, he gets the extra years. So the extra years are added onto his life. Fascinating. This really reminds me of Heaven Can Wait, right? Because he ends up, they put his neshama into someone else's body, right? He's like in the body of someone. And he, so here they're saying, and he becomes his replacement in life. Okay, that's the end of the story. I just want to end with one thing, right? So again, very fascinating theological debate about people dying before their time and how we relate to this. And right, we obviously don't know exactly when everyone's supposed to die. So how do you know if someone's dying before your time? Anyway, on a different note, this Miriam Magdala Se'ar Nashia comes up in the sugya about this guy called Ben Sittada. And Ben Sittada was Hotzik Shafimi Mitzrayim. He was doing Shafimi Mitzrayim. And they say, who is the, they say he was a Shotev, he was considered this crazy guy. They say, who is Ben Sittada? He was really Ben Pandera. So why do they call him Ben Sittada? He was the Baal of Sittada Boel Pandera. It was someone who was married, his mother's husband who acted as his father was Sittada, but really the one who was the one whose father he was somebody else. It was Baal Papos Ben Yehuda, who, and then his mother was Sittada. There's all different explanations about what this was. And they say his mother was Miriam Magadla Se'ar Nashaya Havya. Okay? Some of the people think that this is talking about Jesus, like Mary Magdalene, right? So there's a whole discussion about whether this was Jesus, wasn't Jesus. That's why it was taken out. So the printed text that you know, this kind of text doesn't have this in the Gemara at all. Okay? But the notes on the side have this in the text, and they say it's part of the text. Anyway, this guy was Hosik Shafimi Mitzrayim. It was clearly this guy they weren't really into, right? Some people say that it's a reference to Jesus, and that's where it comes from. And that's who this woman was. And they explain, if you see in the context of this story also, they wanted to kill her, right? That there's obviously some reason why she was supposed to be killed. Anyway, it's not clear whether there's whether that really is her or not. And anyway, it's just interesting to know. Shabbat shalom.